Welcome to the Expert Ownership Podcast, where we launch faith-filled entrepreneurs into greater freedom and success. But you know what? It's more than that. We want to help you thrive in the midst of today's cancel culture. Our goal is to raise up workplace warriors who will stand for what they believe in, whatever the cost. You can find out more by visiting expertownership.com. But without further ado, here we go. I've been really, really feeling it. Got to bust a move, watch out. So today we're going to be talking about why God would allow you to be successful and then how to avoid the trap of success, because there is a trap when you do start to experience some level of success. And so what I've done, and this is Jason, by the way, and what I've done is David and I have, we have three podcasts, in case you didn't know. We've got obviously the Expert Ownership Podcast, launching faith-filled entrepreneurs into greater freedom and success. We've also got I, with my wife, Tori, have a marriage podcast, Beauty in Battle, Winning in Marriage by Waging a War. We also have David and I do a podcast called Living Among Lions, How to Thrive Like Daniel in Today's Babylon, where we talk about culture. And then we do Bible studies specifically that will help us thrive like Daniel in Today's Babylon, not just survive. Well, we did one and we talked about success. We looked at 1 Kings chapter 10, and we also looked at 1 Kings chapter 15, why God would allow you to be successful, and then the trap of success and how it can lead you down the wrong path. And so what I decided to do was to take that podcast that we did and give it to you guys. So we did it for Living Among Lions. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to cut over and I'm going to throw in that recording so that you guys can jump into 1 Kings chapter 10 is where we're going to start on that podcast. And we're going to just dive into the scripture and we're going to look at why success and then how to avoid its trap. All right, here we go. I'm going to talk about success in 1 Kings 10 and then in 1 Kings 15. Jumping into 2 Chronicles 16 a little bit, but we're going to talk about success today. Because David and I, you know, our heart beats for all people, obviously, but we're workplace guys. We're marketplace guys. You know, 99% of us out in the world, we actually have to go work in the for-profit space, not the nonprofit space. Nonprofit's great too, but we specifically have messages to for-profit, those in that marketplace. And so why would God allow someone to be successful? If you ask yourself that question, why would he bless them with talent and then ability and then opportunities to be successful and make a name for themselves or amass some wealth? Why would he allow them to have wealth and fame? Why would he do that? Well, reading in 1 Kings chapter 10 starts to answer some of these questions. Now, let me go back. King David was the king, right? And he had a son named Solomon. That son was the son of Bathsheba, whom David had committed adultery with, had her husband murdered, and then he took her as a wife. God redeemed that situation, but it cost David dearly. His first two sons tried to overtake his throne, and it was just bad, bad, bad all around. But so David paid for that, but now he had Solomon. Solomon was now king, and he was the greatest, most wealthy king in Israel's history in terms of amassing wealth and peace and prosperity and all sorts of stuff. And so there was this queen. She came from a place called Sheba. It was over 1,000 miles from Jerusalem. And she didn't know the God of the Bible. She was from a pagan religion. Now, what do you think would have drawn her to travel over 1,000 miles to meet someone? Well, it was the success of Solomon. She had heard about all of his success. And it was so incredible that she didn't believe it. She's like, it can't be true of all this wealth and fame that this guy Solomon has. Now, they didn't have internet back then. They didn't have transportation modes that we have now. They didn't have ways to communicate back then like we do now. So if she really wanted to see it for herself, she had to travel all that way. And it was hard to do. So you're talking over 1,000 miles for this very wealthy woman to travel. It was probably going to take her 3 to 4 months to get there, 3 to 4 months to get back. She probably stayed there a month or two. So you're looking at almost a year, like more than half a year of a commitment that she's making to be away from her kingdom in order to go check out what's going on. Now, that tells you a lot, right?
because Solomon's outward success magnetized her to come find out his inward secret. Why would God allow you to be successful? For that, so that people would see your outward success and they would want to discover your inward secret. So when she came, she opened up and told him and asked him all the questions. And he opened up and told her the real reason for his success. Okay. And I love because when we see her response, we can see what Solomon told her. Verse 7 in 1 Kings 10, she said this, "But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your people must be, how happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom." So she probably heard of the situation where two moms were arguing over whether or not, two moms had two babies and they were all sleeping in the same bed because they were all poor. And one of the moms rolled over and smothered one of the kids. It was her baby. And when she woke up in the middle of the night, she saw that her baby died. So she switched the babies. And then the next mom wakes up in the morning and realizes, hey, that's not her kid that's dead. This woman stole her kid. And so they went to King Solomon and none of the judges could figure it out. And they're like, one says, this is my kid. The other says, this is my kid. Which one is it? And Solomon says, bring me a sword. Let's cut the kid in half. And then you can each have half. And the real mom said, no, give the kid to her. And the fake mom said, okay, fine, let's just do that. And Solomon said, don't kill the kid. Give it to the mom who wants to spare the life because that's the real mom. And then word spread and everybody's like, oh my gosh, how in the world did he do that? And so she said, I've heard about your wisdom and not even half of what I heard was true until I came and saw it with my own eyes. And then she said, how happy people have to be to hear of your wisdom. Now, if it stopped there, Solomon would have gotten all the praise. But Solomon didn't take the praise for himself. At this point in his life, before he got really jacked up later on, at this point in his life, he did something very valuable. He deflected the praise to God. Now, we don't hear Solomon responding to this. We just hear what she said next. Here's what she said next in verse 9. She said, praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Well, how did she know that? Because he told her. Mm-hmm. She said, because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. Where did she learn that?
That from David, Psalm 89, 14.
Solomon told her the stories of Israel. I bet you he told her the stories that were passed down to him from his dad and said, well, look, this, we're God's people. And he has allowed us to be in specific, special relationship with him so that the other nations of the world will also want to be in relationship with him. So those nations will make God the Lord. And now, because we've done that and we've honored his commandments, God has blessed us. And now you're coming, queen, and asking me the secret to my success. The secret to my success is being yielded to God.
That's right.
And now she gives God glory. What?
She had clearly heard about the God of Israel escaping the people out of Egypt and leading them and creating, you know, I mean, the military exploits and all the amazing things of Jericho and all of that. And then whether Solomon said it or not, he allowed her to see it was God, and she glorified and praised God. I believe Solomon did say it.
Yeah, of course he did. Didn't,
he was like, it, you know, she
of course he did. God. And you know that Solomon told, because she's talking, she's really bragging on the wisdom. You know Solomon told her about his dream.
Absolutely.
God showed up and asked me, what do you want? And I said, you know what? I'd like wisdom more than anything. And God was pleased with that. And not only did he give me wisdom, but he gave me all this other stuff too. She's like, I want that, right? What was the result of all of this? She began to praise God. Did she praise Solomon?
No.
Yes.
Well, yes.
She praised Solomon, but she ultimately praised God.
Yeah.
Solomon could have kept the praise for himself, but he didn't. He reflected it. He deflected it. It's like the moon getting praise for how bright it shines on a full moon. You know, wow, that thing is so bright. It's so dark out here, but wow, that full moon, it's actually lighting things up a little bit. Like I can see a little bit out here, full moon. But the moon is basically, it's just a reflection of the sun. The good news is God wants to do the same thing with you that he did with Solomon. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to be outwardly wealthy and successful and all of that stuff. It could mean that. And if it doesn't mean that for this life, it certainly means that for the next life. So either way, you're going to get it. It just may or may not come in this life. And the one thing that you have to do is simply be faithful to God, honor his commandments as Solomon did. And then when the praise comes your way, you reflect it, you deflect it. Okay. And then you just allow God to handle whether or not that success means tangible success in the world's eyes.
Can I say one thing real quick, just on a practical level? I tell my boys, I say, God gives men, specifically men, two gifts, very clear, two gifts that come directly from the Lord, that are from God's hand. And they both start with the letter W. And I remember asking my young teenage boy this 8 or 9 years ago. I said, what do you think they are? And he goes, women and wealth. And I was like, no, you idiot, a wife and work, right? It's those two. Wife and work are gifts from God. Now, wisdom outside of this from Solomon, where God literally just dropped it on him as a, that's like out of the ordinary, because he wanted to display his glory through Solomon, but Solomon asked for it. But the one thing that we can go get is wisdom.
Yeah.
God gives work and a wife. You just be faithful, faithful where you are. The Lord, you be faithful to cultivate, and God will bring you the wife in the right time. But you got to go get wisdom, just like Solomon. Solomon asked for it, and God gave it to him. And at the with those three in place, with wisdom, work, and a good wife, all that wealth, it can come. Now, in a free market, free country, right? Doesn't happen in North Korea. Doesn't happen in communist China. So that's why you got to fight for your freedoms. But this is really important that that's how we teach our boys. It comes that way.
But those people, you know, communist China and North Korea that don't, you know, in third world countries that don't get wealth of the world or anything like that, like we can here in the West, they're very wealthy.
Yeah, they are.
In the next life, trust me.
And we'll see it. That's right. The first will be last. Last will be first. We'll probably be working for some of those people.
Yeah, rightfully so. And we'll be happy about it. But now here's the thing. Let me say this real quick, because you might be saying, man, you know what? I don't have any work right now. Or you know somebody that doesn't have any work. You know the secret to getting work? Go volunteer somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about volunteering at a nonprofit. I'm talking about going to a for-profit and saying, I will do work for you and you don't have to pay me anything.
Yep.
Because I know you don't have a position. Just do that and watch the opportunities that open up. Anyway, I want to jump into 1 Kings 15 because we're going to talk about the success grid. That's the follow-up, the success grid. Because, well, let me say this again because I just started the note. 1 Kings 15 is where we're going to be. We're talking about the success grid because with clarity comes success. This is the success grid. With clarity comes success. With success comes options. Increased options can diffuse clarity. Diffused clarity sabotages success. That's a grid. Keep that. With clarity comes success. Like you're seeing very clear, you know, like anything that's good that's going to happen needs to start with a vision. It starts in the head before it actually turns out to be something real. If you're going to build a house, blueprints first. It's got to come from your head, then you build it, right? With clarity comes success, which means the vision's there. You got it. You're very clear on what you need to do. And typically clarity means that your options are limited because you know, this is what I got to do to be successful. So I'm only going to do these things. I can't do this, 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 this. Other people can do those things. I can't, right? With clarity comes success. With success comes options that when you get successful, now all of a sudden the options open up, right? Now I've made a lot of money. So I got a lot more options. You know, I can eat out as much as I want, you know, whatever it is that come with the options of success. So with success comes options. Increased options can then diffuse clarity, and diffuse clarity can sabotage your success. Okay. Now let me look at this in terms of 1 Kings 15. Now, backstory, Asa was king of Judah, and he started out really well. In one battle, he had like 300,000 troops, and the Ethiopian army had over 1 million troops. Okay, so at this point, he didn't have as many troops. I mean, he was more than triple the amount of troops coming against him. His options were limited because he knew he couldn't fight them. So what did he do? He cried out to God. He had great faith. Asa, at this moment, he had great faith, limited options, but great faith. And guess what happened? God came through and wiped out the Egyptian army. It was incredible. So at that moment,
Ethiopian army.
Yeah, Ethiopian army. That incredible. At that moment, he had extreme clarity on what he needed to do. I need to cry out to God for a miracle because I have no other option. So it was very clear. And then how did it work? It led to success. Okay. Now, after this success, he had some options. He became the king that wiped out an army with over 1 million people. And so they get the spoils of war. They get riches. They get all sorts of stuff. And he gets fame. Now, things are going pretty well for Asa.
He doesn't need God as much anymore.
So he's king of Judah. And so Israel came up to fight against him. And Israel had united together with another kingdom. And so Asa, at this point, rather than appealing to God, Asa decided that he was going to get strategic. Look what he did, verse 18 of 1 Kings 15. Asa then took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasury of the Lord's temple and of his own palace. Where did he get those treasures?
From Solomon.
From Solomon that were passed down and
David
defeating armies from success in the battlefield. That's how they got this stuff. From success, he gets this treasure. He entrusted it to his officials and sent them to Ben-Hadad, son of Tibur-Amram, the son of Hezion, the king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. Let there be a treaty between me and you, he said, as there was between your father and my father. See, I am sending you a gift of silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel. So those two kings that you united, he took the treasuries of the temple and he sent it to one of the kings to try to create that split. Now that's a very strategic move. Okay. But when Asa had no options, he called out to God. But when his blessings increased, so did his options. And now he no longer had to fully rely on the Lord.
That's right.
He could do things on his own. And here's the crazy part. It worked. His strategy worked. This king said, fine, I'll break that treaty. And it worked, at least for a while. But ultimately, it cost Asa in two ways. Number one, and this is the most dangerous. Number one, he turned wicked. God's presence left him because Asa never turned to the Lord in that moment because he had options. He had plenty of money at that point. Why do I have to turn to the Lord? I can pay this guy off.
That's right.
No big deal. But his heart turned wicked. In 2 Chronicles 16, it says, in the 39th year of Asa, in the reign of Asa, he became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians.
Yep.
So the first thing that it cost him when Asa's options increased is that he turned wicked. But number two, he caused other people to sin. Many decades later, King Joash in 2 Kings chapter 12, this is many generations later, King Joash did the same thing. An army came against him. He paid him off with the temple treasury. And he got punished for that. Well, where did he get that idea? In the annals of the kings, he saw that Asa
did it.
And it worked. So he caused other people to sin, and God had to deal with Joash for that sin. So the success grid, which is, and I'll repeat it again, with clarity comes success, with success comes options. Increased options diffuses clarity, and diffused clarity sabotages success. Now, it doesn't have to be like that, because when the success grid is undergirded by the faith grid,
that's right,
everything is better. With faith comes blessing. Okay, when I say blessing, I'm not saying success at this point, because it may or may not be outward success, but it comes blessing. When blessings increase, so do our options. And when options increase, it can diffuse our lack of faith, and a lack of faith can sabotage our blessings. So that's the faith grid. When faith comes, it increases blessings. When blessings increase, so do our options. When options increase, it can easily diffuse our lack of faith, or it can diffuse our faith and lead to a lack of faith, and a lack of faith sabotages our blessings. So how does it work? Like, if you're poor and you don't have the money to pay your electric bill, you have to pray and ask God to perform a miracle, right? Because you have no options. And God will come through. You've all heard stories like that. But now if you have plenty of money to pay your electric bill, you have plenty of money to pay all sorts of things, and it's time to buy a car, you can go buy whatever car you want at any moment that you want without having to ask God to help you, without having to ask God for his direction. It takes more faith to trust God when you have more options than it does to trust God when you don't have options. You need to catch that, especially for us in America. It takes more faith to trust God when you have plenty of options than it does to trust God when you don't have options. Oh, we just cried out in faith because we didn't have any options. That's great. But how about the person who's experienced wealth, success, and fame, and yet they're clinging to faith because they got all the options in the world, and yet they're still not walking out ahead of God? Why? Because they don't want their lack of faith to sabotage their blessings. Yep. So how do we make sure that this doesn't happen? I leave you with this. Psalm 100 verse 4 gives us the answer. How do we make sure that we don't go the wrong way of success, the wrong way where faith can lead to the blessings and it sabotages because options increase? How do we make sure that we don't fall into this pit? Psalm 104 gives us the answer. You enter God's gates with
thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, and his courts with
praise.
Praise. If you consistently thank God for what he's done for you and praise him for doing it through you, you won't fall into this trap. Thank God for what he's done for you and praise him for doing it through you. You're deflecting and saying, hey, this wasn't all me. Yeah, I made some good decisions, but God gave me the ability. That satisfies it. You're taken care of, and you don't have to worry about sliding down that slippery slope.
Amen. Living among lions, Lord, give us grace to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, gang. Stand strong.
I want to say this real quick before you get off. Thank you, CHM, for being our podcast sponsor. They sponsor all of our podcasts. You know, we got three of them. Expert Ownership, launching faith-filled entrepreneurs into greater freedom and success. Beauty in Battle, winning in marriage by waging a war. Living Among Lions, How to Thrive Like Daniel, Today's Babylon. Those are our three podcasts. This is the only one we live stream. And Christian Healthcare Ministries have made those possible. We thank you. Go to expertownership.com/CHM.
See you guys next week.
I've been really, really feeling it. About to bust a